Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now it's time to head stateside now. With the midterm elections in sight, the strength or weakness of the US economy will resonate with US voters now more than ever. I'm delighted to be joined by the esteemed US economics commentator and his economist for The Times, Erwin Stelzer. Erwin, you're very welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, could you give us a sense of where we're at the moment around what the general mood is in the US around, you know, how they feel about the economy? Are people seeing the price of gas at the pumps going up? Is the weekly shopping bill becoming a challenge? What's the mood on the ground?
Well, the mood, the sentiment measured by the University of Michigan is very glum. I'm not sure that reflects a reality, but remember, there's more that people are not just listening to economists or looking at the economy. They're looking at the world that it is as it is shaping up.
Yeah.
And they're not happy with what they're seeing in the world as it is shaping up. I think everything from suddenly realizing that our British ally is not our British ally anymore, on to there's an ongoing war, and on to some economic headwinds that are troubling them. But, you know, all in all, I mean, as a mood measurement, the index from the University of Michigan is the best, and it's at a 74-year low.
Wow. And tell me this, Erwin, if we look at, you talked about the war there, the cost of this war from an American point of view is colossal. And when the punter on the street sees that he or she is being squeezed because of the ongoing cost of a war, and it starts affecting them personally, are people likely to really, get really angry about that?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, it's a kind of a loaded question. I know you'd like me to say yes, but the fact of the matter is this: there are lots of people, it's hard to tell how many, who recognize that, look, for 47 years, Iran has been killing Americans from the day this regime took power. It's been threatening us. It's been lying. It said it had no long-run missiles. Now it turns out it does. It said it wasn't enriching uranium to weapons grade. It has been. So there's a feeling here that Trump did the right thing by saying, for instance, Obama shipped them billions and billions of dollars in the hope that that would buy some goodwill. It didn't. And there is some feeling here that Trump has doing the absolute right thing by saying once and for all, we've got to do something to eliminate this threat to our security. And I don't think he's doing a very good job of explaining how in the long run, this greater security will be reflected in lower oil prices and a much better world to live in. Now, that said, there are obviously people who are feeling the pain of gasoline prices, or petrol, as you would call it, are particularly sensitive, partly because people use a lot of it here. I mean, we live in a great big country, and partly because you see it every 3 or 4 minutes as you're driving around. So it's a very politically sensitive price, and people don't like it, but it's nowhere near what it was in some of the previous brawls we've had with the Middle East. So I think it's a mixed bag. I think that there are some people who understand the long-run advantages, some people who don't really care. They want the short-run. They don't like the short-run course. And many people, I think, would agree on one thing, that the president has not done a very good job of explaining why he's doing this and why the costs are worth bearing.
Is there another cost to the U.S., Erwin, in the terms of Gulf investment coming into the state that funds huge amounts of capital projects? Is there a danger that if that dries up, it's going to cause another problem?
Well, first of all, that's not happening. Our investment is huge. We're building a huge infrastructure for AI. Foreign investment is coming in. So I think that's okay. If you think that displeasure with the United States might cause, for instance, a preference for non-dollar investments, I think that's a real problem. And we'll have to see how that plays out. But right now, it's more talk than action.
Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And what about all the initiatives around the green scams, the getting rid of all the woke causes, all those other initiatives? How's he doing there in terms of making progress?
Those are the enormously popular part of the Trump, agenda. I mean, closing the border was the biggest winner of all. Now, the way he implemented closing of the border with those ICE agents was not good. I think that one of the problems is that Trump's agenda is fine. The implementation is terrible. So I think people don't like DEI. DEI is a disgusting form of discrimination. The green hoax is not quite a hoax. That is, there is a problem out there and it needs resolution. But to force people to give up their cars and play huge subsidies for electric vehicles doesn't sit too well. Remember, this is a huge country, so that to be stopping every short number of miles to recharge for a half hour was not very popular. So I know that, for instance, in Britain, with David Miliband, I've had dinner with him. I wouldn't want to have dinner and use the word hoax. But generally the Americans are glad to be rid of DEI. They're glad to be rid of woke. That part of, let's call it the cultural part of the Trump agenda. Even liberal Democrats are now starting to worry. What they're saying is, I don't understand why we're giving up votes in the bedroom in order to get them in the toilet. Where they're fighting still like mad to have men and women sports or men and women's bathrooms, or suing, as the Biden administration did, nuns who have palliative care units to have separate bathrooms for men and women. So I think that's the Trump winner, if you're looking at a Trump winner.
And what about, is America now very inward-looking? Like, does anybody really care what's happening in Europe? Or has America become a more inward-looking society on the basis of we got to sort ourselves out and not be involved? But yet, then these wars, then the war in Iran is the opposite to that.
I think that Americans, there's a group in America who has written off Europe, and as reflected in the comments of the appalling Vice President Vance. I think that there's a group in America, a large group, that recognizes the international responsibilities that are just go with the turf of being the greatest economy in the world and accepts them, and that mourns a little bit that Trump has unnecessarily antagonized. I leave Britain out this because it's necessary. Unnecessarily antagonized allies. And that he could have done it better. I don't think there's any way he could have gotten Spain to help him with the Gulf, but I certainly think a more nuanced approach might have gone down better with other Europeans.
What about now with the midterms? If the power in the House then cedes to the Democrats, I think there's an 85% probability of that. Where will that leave Trump at that stage and his current policies?
Well, remember, there's Also, on the new data, it looks like it's a 50-50 chance that the Democrats will also take the Senate. So stick that in the back of your head.
Yeah.
But it will be very uncomfortable for Trump. Remember, he's pushed the limits, I think, too far of his executive authority in Congress, maybe for the wrong reasons, simply that they hate Trump, will try to reassert its authority in some of these issues. I think that it's going to be a very, very big problem if the Democrats decide to cut off funding for this war with Iran. And I think that there's a small group within the Democratic Party that wants to inaugurate impeachment proceedings if they control the House. But it's going to be very, very difficult. On the other hand, there's something to be said for divided government, especially when you have a president who is asserting essentially unlimited power with no need for Congress, and the Republicans are afraid to confront him on that issue. So it would be kind of healthy to have some Democrats who are saying, hey, wait a minute, you're the president, we're the Congress, you can't do that.
Wow. Okay, strange times we live in, Erwin. We look forward to maybe talking to you again in a couple of months, and you might let us know if all your predictions will be correct or otherwise. So,
I would guess that they won't be.
Well, good man. We'll end on that high note. Thanks for talking to us, and we wish you well.
Thank you. Bye.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.